Hey guys, Jim Cox, and I'm here today with an interview with Maricaida Solis. She is a vegan activist, has a program interviewing people to talk about veganism, and reached out to her to learn more about what she does, why she does it, and you know, she's kindly accented to be on. So thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you, James. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in terms of veganism, and like, how did you start on that path?
Well, my brother introduced me to Meet Your Meat, a three minute video, which was horrifying.
What was it called?
Meet Your Meat. That was in 95. It was just 3 minutes. Alec Baldwin narrated it. And that was all it did. That switched me to vegetarian. Then I went to vegan, back to vegetarian a little bit, and then to vegan for probably 8 or 9 years now. There was just that little break. But I really love being vegan because I feel definitely much better when I'm eating whole foods and plant-based foods. And it's really wonderful to be able to support the environment and the planet by doing this. And I feel the health benefits. I'm 54 and I've won a lot of contests in my 40s for planking. I planked for 18 minutes in my 40s and won the contest at the gym for 13 minutes at the gym, the contest. And that was with people a lot younger than myself.
Wow.
So yeah, it's always been good to me.
That's a big thing I find for a lot of people, myself included. And, you know, it's amazing that it kind of goes, I think, under noticed or underreported, the kind of anti-inflammatory benefits of like a plant-based diet. You know, just that one little piece really kind of changes the dynamics in the body. And really, when you go to a doctor, you know, the fact is a lot of times you're just prescribed a pill, and the fact that you could change things with a diet, a change in diet, don't come up at all.
Yeah, and we're really brainwashed to believe that when we get older, we're going to start having to take medicine and everything's going to fall apart. And so we think it's natural to take medicine. And we're not even, the doctor doesn't talk about preventative care and how beneficial and how our bodies really respond to the healthy, natural living foods that we can give them. So definitely the way that we're brought up is believing that we have to have a lot of protein and a lot of meat or we're going to be very weak, and that's just simply not true.
Yeah, exactly. I you know, my personal thing, I recently started doing a lot of juicing, and I had never known anything about juicing until I watched a Jason Vail movie documentary about the benefits of juicing. I think it's called Super Juice Me. And you know, over the past, I've been doing it pretty consistently for the past month. And even within the first week, like before I started in that first week, if I tried to do the elliptical for 5 minutes, I was lucky because my knees were just, they killed me, my knees. And, you know, yesterday I had a number of things I had to watch and listen to. And I ended up doing it while I was on the elliptical. I was on the elliptical for 2 hours and not a bit of pain. And, you know, I can truly attribute that to the diet. You know, I haven't changed anything else other than that. So,
Wow. Yeah,
I mean, it's, as you said, as you get older, like there are so many things that we can do to make ourselves healthier. And in a sense, we have to turn off all the stuff that we're being told by the media and by what we see and by marketing and by, you know, kind of just what society tells you to do, to really just pay attention to what your body is wanting.
Yeah, definitely. And then the beautiful colors of fruits and vegetables. I mean, once you open up to that vegan and whole food plant-based lifestyle, I mean, there's so many choices that I didn't even know existed that are so good. I mean, it's a whole new world. Instead of thinking you're losing something, it's about discovering all these wonderful foods to bring in that are going to give you so much energy and not make you feel like you just ate a, you know, a bag of rocks, which I used to feel like when I was eating meat. I mean, I can imagine, you know, I think about the ribs and all the chicken and all that, that just makes, I mean, it just weighed me down and I didn't have energy. And I see children that are not getting the nutrients because they're eating all this heavy stuff and they're not eating any plants or vegetables. And so they're not getting that, those nutritional needs. See the effects on them. They're very tired all the time. They're very listless. They don't have any energy. And it makes me so sad. I mean, mental energy, they don't have that excitement about life.
Yeah. You know?
And it's all tied to what we eat.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people say veganism isn't a diet. It's really more of, what would you say veganism is if it's not a diet?
Well, for me, veganism is about kindness to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's about love and acceptance. And so it's very important for me as a vegan to not judge other people, but to be kind, because I wasn't always a vegan and I'm not better than anyone else. I don't know. I'm perfectly imperfect. And that's what I think veganism is about loving Mother Earth, loving myself to put the wonderful foods in my body and loving the animals where they're not harmed. Because I don't have to, of course I could eat them, but I have a choice to eat something that doesn't harm or that does. And like I said, I'm not better than anyone else. It took me a long time through this journey to understand, and people are on that path. We just don't know what's going on in their heads. So it's about accepting them with love and being here for them. If they want to learn about plant-based eating, here I am. And if not, that's fine. Maybe later you might want to learn, and here I am still.
Yeah. I mean, definitely for Earth Day, it's definitely a message that I think needs to be carried farther, because, you know, the environmental impact that factory farms have, you know, the land that it takes, the poisons that, you know, go into feeding the crops that feed the animals, you know, a lot of it is just, it's so wasteful. And the water that's consumed as well. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about, you know, energy and the lack of energy that people experience in terms of when they go to fill up their car. But the reality is probably a more precious resource is the water, that especially in the coming years. And we've just got to reverse that, you know, if we're going to be able to continue as a species.
You're right. I mean, the effects are devastating if we keep along this path. You know, I mean, the factory farms are poisoning our soil and the people that are living in those areas. I mean, all that pollution, all the toxic fumes from the factory farm. I mean, it's bad enough for the people, but the poor animals that are living in there, it's just horrendous. I mean, we're poisoning ourselves and it's so sad and everything's hidden. It's just very sad. And it's, I understand people don't want to know about it because it's shocking and it's traumatizing, right? Yeah. And maybe they don't want to know about it today, but maybe next year when they get sick, or maybe when a family member's sick, then they might, you know, be ready to hear.
Yeah. You know? So it's, well, like you said, you watched that one movie that 3 minutes long and it changed your point of view. I had a similar experience. I did a podcast interview with Chase Avior when I first started, and it changed me. You know, it, like, that one conversation really opened my eyes to what was going on and to what, you know, needed to change. And, you know, so I think the more people see the reality, I think the more people can, you know, help make the world a better place. So.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, you might have a conversation with someone and they might not get it. And then I might have a conversation with them a week later. They still might not understand, but then they might have a conversation with my friend, Angela down the street. maybe 3 months later, and then all of a sudden they got it. So yeah. We never know. Just like for me, I had a friend that was vegetarian in college, and I thought he was wacky, crazy. I even like, how are you going to be sick or what's going on? I tried to talk him out of it, right? Because I didn't get it. And so it was my journey when I was going to get it. And so I wasn't a bad person before I got it, but thank God that there were nice vegans and nice plant eating people that were there to support me and to plant those seeds. And then I did agree to watch the video. Nobody forced me into watching it. I wanted to watch it. And so that was even better. The fact that I wanted to watch it made me more receptive. I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the phrase that you use, planting seeds, I think is a really good one. Like in a lot of ways, that's what we need to do in terms of the lives that we lead is it's not to really force things, but really just to plant the seed of change or seeds of, you know, awareness and seeds of love. You know, for people to really embrace and change when they're ready.
Right. And that's what I really want to help people with. And that's what I do in my coaching is really to try to help people understand it's not us against them or there's no agenda. We're here to learn about them and to see how to communicate better, to see what's important in their life. Maybe it's the environment, maybe it's animals, maybe it's their health, you know, what resonates with them. And then to offer, not to force it down their throats, you know, would you like to know more about this? Because people are very curious. I know when I go take vegan food somewhere or we go out to eat, people always want to know and they always want to taste, which is great. I mean, I don't even have to ask them. They want to say, what is that? Can I taste it? So there's the opportunity right there, just going out to eat with someone. And then even I'll make cupcakes for my friends and here's a cupcake and they know it's vegan and then they get excited about it. So knowing that they don't have to give up those little treats every, you know, the treats that we all love to have every now and then, that they're still there. We still can have fun. The ice creams now, or I mean, the, you know, a lot of the coconut ones are super.
Yeah, oat milk.
They're really great. You wouldn't even.
I think they actually taste better than, you know, regular ice cream.
I do too. Yeah, definitely. And things have really progressed over the years. We're living in a time where we really don't have to miss eating meat.
Well, now they have alternative meats. I mean, Impossible Burger, Beyond Meat. I use Beyond Meat a lot and love it. And the reality is, you know, the combination of Beyond Meat and spices, you can really get it to taste whatever you want it to taste like. And, you know, to me, it's fantastic because you have the kind of the experience of, you know, when you were growing up eating a certain thing, but without any of the negative baggage that comes with it, any of the negative impacts that, you know, would have gone into the raising of the animal or the, you know, the slaughtering. And so, you know, we're in a whole new world. And this is just in the past couple of years, the fact that it's grown so much, I think it's just so impressive. You know, not just in the US, but, you know, around the world.
It is amazing, you know, and I love to be able to use the Impossible Beyond also in cooking because there's always something fun and new to try. I mean, tacos or, lasagna, anything you can do with it. And then also making with the cashew. With the cashews, making cheese, I made a great cheese ball with it myself. And my friend made one. I was like, where did you get this? And it was so exciting to hear that she made it. And it was simple. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the best news I've ever heard. Cause it's so flavorful. Cause I think that's one of the hardest things for a lot of people is the cheese, but now they've got so many great cheeses that you don't feel like you have to miss anything. And so it's a discovery.
Vegan. Yeah, they say that cheese is really addictive. It's kind of like crack in a way that it affects your brain that you feel like you can't deal with without it. And like the last thing that I ended up giving up that really took me a long time was coffee creamer, you know, and I just felt like I just couldn't find a replacement. And eventually I just used oat milk. I'm like, oh, this is good. And, you know, it's, You know, it really doesn't have to be something that you end up giving up.
Right, that's true. And I know that was for my boyfriend. That was one of the things that was very hard for him is creamer. You know, trying to find just a plain creamer. I know that we like Ripple. That was a really good brand that we liked. But yeah, there's a lot of out there. And I love what you said about the being addictive. Even these foods being addictive, you know, the meat is very addictive. And just all those additives. I mean, they know what they're doing. So if that's one good reason to have compassion for people that are eating meat still, and why it's so hard to understand. There's a lot of social pressure on them when they become vegan that they feel, right? And that's not just like, I know vegans, I've heard them laugh about people saying that was an excuse, the social pressure, but it's a reality of this that people do. I mean, you can be a target, not in a horrible way, but I mean, people have laughed and made fun, and I mean, I don't think they mean, I mean, my friends, I don't think they've meant to be mean, and I didn't take it that way, but I see how it is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons why there's resistance, and to have compassion for people that aren't, because it is addictive. Meat's very addictive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it ends up being, you know, people when they, I guess when there's differences, you end up constructing walls. Like, well, that's what that person does. This is what I'm going to do. And it becomes more of a separation. And, you know, the reality is just without the judgment, you know, let the walls fall and, you know, just embrace. Easier said than done, given the age that we live in and especially the political divisions that we live in. But you know, that's definitely, you know, a spiritual message I think we should all take that would make life better for everybody.
Yeah, you're right. And sometimes just not even saying anything about it, just bring the food, put it down and let it be speak for itself.
Yeah. You know,
I remember listening to a podcast recently with Victoria Moran, and she was talking about that at the potluck. She tries to have them just the best tasting meat dish so that people ask for the recipe, and that's an introduction to it, like that this wonderful meal, you know, this wonderful dish is plant-based, and mm-hmm. and not even saying anything. I mean, I know that I've seen people where they get so angry, their families come in and then they say, well, this is vegan, and the family doesn't want it. But I think the mistake was saying this is vegan. Just serve the food.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, feed people. Know,
yeah, just enjoy, take it, and not be angry at the family either, because yeah, knowing again that we were not always like that, and yeah. They have, I mean, this is what programmed into us.
Yeah. So I know that you do a lot of you post a lot of videos in terms of on Facebook of your conversations with different people. So I mean, are these coaching calls or are these like interviews to try to help people learn how to be vegan? I mean, what's the nature of your programming?
Well, my weekly live streams are really to help vegans that are struggling in anger and sadness. To bring on vegans that have moved past that state, that aren't angry, to show how we can live in peace with others and family members, because a lot of my clients don't want to have any contact or communication with family members anymore because they're angry at them. And then they're, that kind of anger just is feeding, you know, and breaking your own heart there when you cut off and you're isolated. And so they're coming to me because they don't know how to live anymore. They're sad and desperate and angry, and they hate the family and they've cut ties. And so my live streams are about joy. I have a Facebook group, and it's about being empowered, and that's based on confidence, and it's mm-hmm. based on peacefulness and standing in your own belief, and not forcing anyone's belief down their, and not forcing our belief down their throat, but being confident and saying, this is what I believe in, and I respect you enough for you to have your own belief. I'll be happy to share, and it's mm-hmm. if you don't like it, right? I'm not here. Nothing's going to change. I don't go in with expectations. And that's really what I want to teach in the live streams and in my coaching, that just to go and be you. And that's enough. That's an example of a vegan. We want to be examples of light and power and confidence. We don't want to be desperate beggars.
Yeah. So
in the live streams, I'm showing vegans that are confident and happy, and that they don't have to change everybody on a daily basis, that they're okay with that. Like, you know, Earthling Ed, he's there just to plant seeds. And he specifically says, I mean, that he is not trying to change someone on the spot. Right. And that's got to be the attitude that we have. And that's what I want to show in my live streams and in my Facebook group. So for people to come so they can be supported in this positive atmosphere instead of the I hate everybody atmosphere, which I see a lot of the Facebook groups on, people feeding off of that negative energy. And it's so sad to see that. They're just fueling that depression and isolation.
Yeah, that's a great goal. And to promote the positivity and the unity is really just such a noble goal. I'll definitely have to share more of your programs in the groups I'm involved in, because that's a message that I think we all can benefit from. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, we all have got to support each other. We've got to remember, like, we're not isolated. You're over there, James. And then we've got like Peter that's in Colorado, really inviting people to be plant-based. Peter Goldstein is an amazing example. We did it.health. He's got this great, it's a running scoreboard of how plant-based foods have changed people's lives, the impact, and really getting those numbers up so people can see how people's health has been affected. So now getting up every morning and just sitting in the gratitude of all of us in this community, so we don't have to feel isolated. We don't have to feel desperate or like we're not doing enough, but knowing that I'm doing this here, you're doing that there. And I've got friends all over this planet working towards it. And that's the joyful part. So instead of being sad, angry vegans, we're joyful, powerful vegans.
That's awesome. If people want to learn more about your work or your coaching, how can they find out about you? Do you have a website?
I have a website, maraquitasolis.com, and I have the Empowered Vegan group, Empowered Vegans, Voices for Our Mother Earth on Facebook.
Okay. What is your email if people want to email you?
It's maraquitasoliscoaching@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to chat today. And, you know, I look forward to seeing you more of your programs and, you know, being in community together, you know, because that's what we are.
This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.